You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week, since we didn't have much time for it last week, we bring you our piles and piles of shame going into the new year. Oh, and answer your questions. Of course.
And now it's time for Bit Trip Presents Runner 2.
You listening to old timey radio?
Oh, sorry, no. I'm trying to play some Bit Trip Runner 2.
Hey, I think I have that game.
Yeah, I haven't played it apparently because this whole intro thing they have going on is not familiar to me. Yeah, let's look Powerpuff Girls.
I have definitely played this game, but I will admit that I don't know it well enough to have picked out that audio.
Oh no!
Yeah, I got it. I got it for Wii U. I got it in the Humble Bundle.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. I got mine on sale. But that does remind me. I have. Oh no. Yeah, there was that Wii U Humble Bundle. I think I paid for that, but I don't think I ever even got the codes.
Wait. So you bought Bit Trip Runner again, even though you already had a copy?
Possibly. I mean, I think I wanted the other games I didn't have, so it was so cheap.
Okay.
I think I paid like $15 for the whole thing, honestly. But there were like a bunch of great games in there. I've just never... Yeah. I wonder if I could still even get my codes.
I think so. You better... redeem SteamWorld Dig. It's okay. Really good. It's really good. Ha, Future Retro SteamWorld Dig. It's really good. Also, the Fall. I haven't beat it yet. Pile
oh,
of
the
shame.
Fall.
The Fall.
I think that's what I wanted that for. Was for The Fall. Yes.
Pile of shame. The Fall. Oh man, this is. Now that the break is over. Wow. I thought I was going to get a couple games done, but I just spent all my time playing Xenoblade. And not only have I not decreased my pile of shame, but I've reduced one of the few times in my year that I can maybe make a dent in it. And Christmas season has added about 11 titles to it.
Oh, no.
You know what? I don't. Let's forget Denchi Mail. Let's not do Denchi Mail this week.
Okay.
Let's just make it all pile of shame.
Oh no! Shame.
And you know what? Our listeners can vote on the one we need to play next, because this is Shamefest 2016.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the year's over. There are plenty of games, I'm sure, that we wanted to play in that time and didn't for whatever reason, and now it's time to take some stock, I think.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
First of all, have you picked up any games this month?
No. My shame is too pileful.
Too pileful. Oh man. I picked up. I mean, I received as Christmas presents about 5 games.
Oh boy.
And played one of them. I booted up some of the others, but there are still like, and I purchased a number of games because I took advantage of Black Friday sales.
Ah, sure.
And I had people just bring stuff. People who were stopping back in the States, just bring things for me. Then I don't have to pay all the shipping. So I've got a whole bunch of still shrink wrapped stuff here.
Okay.
What am I holding right now? I am holding Final Fantasy Tactics, The War of the Lions. This is as good a place as any to start. On my pile of shame is the Final Fantasy Tactics series. And this one especially hurts me because I like tactics games. I hear Final Fantasy Tactics is one of the best. I have the soundtrack, which I like.
Oh.
But I have started this game so many times,
mm-hmm.
but never really got through the tutorials. I have this on the original PlayStation. I have it for my iPhone. I have it for my iPad. And just recently I picked it up for the PSP. And I don't know why I keep buying this game, hoping that maybe I can guilt myself into playing it with how much investment I've put into it over the years. Because, I've got it on the PlayStation, but, I don't really have my PlayStation hooked up much anymore. So, but then I got it again on the iPad because it's an enhanced version. The War of the Lions is like a enhanced remake.
Okay.
But then I was like, touch controls. Touch controls. Yes. Oh. And then now I've got it on the PSP, and I'm trying to find a reason that I'm going to not play this one.
Oh, boy.
battery life. I don't know. We'll see, but the thing is, I don't know. I think whenever I'm faced with a game that's really, really good or like critically acclaimed as good, but also very, very long, I feel a lot of pressure going into it.
Sure. Like Mass Effect.
yeah. Like exactly. I mean,
weekly reminder already done. Oh, so crossing that off my list.
That should have been the free space. Okay. callbacks. Anyway,
listen to last week's show if you haven't already.
So the whole series, and I feel bad because I really want to play this, and I've heard so many good things about it over the years. Have you played the Tactics series?
No, I mean, like, you know, our mutual friend of the show Trey had it when we were roommates, and I never really got into it. Like I only had barely played 7 at that time. So
okay. All right, your turn.
My turn. Oh boy.
Bring on the shame.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of things on my Wii U Virtual Console, like Bit Trip Runner 2 being one of those. And you mentioned the Humble Bundle. But I also have a lot of games.
Oh, Trine! I never played Trine.
Yeah, I never finished Trine. I played it at least.
I bought both of them. They're so pretty.
They are. You know, and it was easier when the Wii U was new and there weren't a lot of games, and I could like pride myself with saying I bought everything on the eShop because there weren't a lot of things to buy. So most of those games I never finished, honestly. And I'm trying to think of like what's my most shameful one out of all of those, because now I've had my Wii
Even
U
the ones
for
you didn't redeem the codes for those.
Okay, fine,
probably...
fine, but I don't have that list in front of me. I would have to find it. I'm just looking through my list now. I have like Child of Light, Runner 2, the DuckTales Remastered, Puddle.
Ooh, that's on my list too. DuckTales Remastered.
My Switch Force, Hyperdrive Version.
That's a good game. That's a good game. And I've actually played that one to a reasonable extent.
Here we go. Little Inferno.
Oh, is that the one by the World of Goo guys or guy
I
or
think so? Let me start it up here.
you don't know.
I don't. I can use the gamepad or a Wii remote. Well, obviously I'm using the gamepad. Do not play with fire, it says. Warning.
This is why I don't buy digitally, because you can't actually pile those.
Tomorrow Corporation. So what have they done?
So wait, you bought this.
Yeah.
Do you just randomly buy things, or?
Well, like I said, when the Wii U was new, it was really easy to buy everything on the eShop, and it wasn't that expensive, especially cause I wasn't buying the disc titles.
Oh wait, Little Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the 2D. I'm thinking of a different game.
Okay.
Kind of a more recent one. Isn't Little Inferno kind of recent?
Well, I mean, it was 2013 when I bought it, so
maybe not. I don't know.
Consists of Kyle Gabler, Alan Blomquist, and Kyle Gray. So
well,
two
whoever
Kyles.
You guys are, I'm sorry I haven't played your game.
Well, my wife, according to this, has put 4 hours into this game, so I know that she would play it. This is back, you know, when our little guy was less than a year old. And so she had more time to do this kind of thing. And then we moved and a lot of other fun things happened, so she hasn't really come back to the...
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah. So it's very pretty. I mean, I'm playing with fire in this game is maybe a little too much fun.
All right. Well,
legitimate purchase of your brand new little Inferno fire entertainment fireplace. All right. Well, I should come back to this later.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
But right. I mean, this is a very cute, quirky game that like I watched her play, and it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just haven't done it. Ooh, the terms and conditions, I can burn those. Awesome. Wait, I said I was going to stop playing these, right?
Yes, please.
All right, what's on your pile of shame?
Do you want the whole list?
The whole list? No, just give me a next one.
Okay. Next one. The Hyperdimension Neptunia series. And
No,
I mean it's not for want of playing it. It's just that the games are quite long, and I purchased four of them, you know,
okay,
right at once. You know, I've got the Rebirth 1, Rebirth 2, Rebirth 3, and like this strategy RPG spinoff one, like Hyper Devotion Noir Black. I don't know. You see, I don't even know. I buy things without even knowing exactly their full names. So, and I kept buying the series because obviously I enjoy it. I very much, and I plan to play them, but like, I just don't know where the time's ever going to come from, because right now I've got, I mean, each of these games is like 40, 50, 60 hour game. And you know, I've got four of them right now. I mean, that's a lot of game. And the I don't know, 20 hours I've put into the first one have been a very enjoyable amount of time. I enjoy the game very, very much. I love all the references and stuff in there, but I just don't know when I'm gonna get around to finishing them. So so all but the first one are still shrink wrapped. So, but that, you know what, that's what's nice about my pile of shame as compared to your digital pile of shame.
Oh dear.
Is that it's always in my face reminding me. Because if we wanted to go to digital pile... Oh, man. Oh, I've got something for my pile of shame, Sean.
Yeah?
Steam, in general. Anything
oh,
on it.
Oh, no.
I think my Steam list is around 200 games right now, and I know for a fact that I haven't beat any of them. And also that I probably haven't even played half of them.
Well,
curse you humble bundles,
right? Well, I mean, speaking of Steam, maybe I can go on to mine then, my next one.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm only gonna talk about one because I too have I haven't finished Papers, Please, for instance. Not for lack of playing it, it's just that it's difficult. You know, so what's the one? Okay, sorry, here it is. I haven't played, even though I bought the first season, I have not played The Walking Dead.
Ah,
and that was recommended. That was recommended by friend of the show, Rob Matsushita.
Yes,
who wanted very much for me to play this, so we got something to talk about next time he was on the show, and. Yep.
Sorry, Rob, you're not going to be on the show. So anyone who had that on the 2016 predictions, sorry.
Oh, no. So I think I need to do that so that we can discuss that, because he wants to talk about it so bad. And I haven't really watched the series, although I guess there's some guy who they're not sure if he's dead or not. And there's that one meme about Carl, and that's all I really know about the show.
Yeah. All right. What is it with Carl's in things in general? There's a Carl in Xenoblade Saga, and he's just the like the screw off, don't do anything, whatever. Anyway.
I mean, you know, there's Carl and I got nothing.
Anyway, okay. Your turn, my turn.
Yeah, I think it's your turn.
I got a lot. Steam reminded me that I haven't beat Portal.
Oh no!
Not for not wanting to. I mean, I very much. It's maybe I'm okay now. Now that Splatoon's gotten me over my fear of the third dimension. maybe I'll have a little more. Whatever, but I don't know. It's been Christmas and everything, and there's been so many sweets already, and all that cake.
Yes, I can see how that would be a problem. No, what are you doing?
And, oh no, Steam. Oh, I never should have logged onto Steam. Not just that I'm worried they're going to steal my data.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, you heard about that Steam thing, right?
No.
Around Christmas, during the Steam sale, something went nuts with their database, and it was basically like putting out people's personal data kind of randomly.
Oh,
I mean, they got it fixed, but it was quite the, it wasn't hacked. It was just like a database error or something, but like you'd log on and it would randomly give you someone else's page.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, it's really, so, but no, I mean, they got it taken care of, but looking at my Steam list, the Stanley Parable.
Oh, you need to play that.
I did play. I actually started that one, and then I'm like, keyboard and mouse controls only, and I noped out of it.
Oh, God, no, don't. Oh, come on.
Let me use a controller. What is this?
Do you have like a wired 360 controller? That might work.
Yes. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Oh. It's keyboard controls, keyboard and mouse only.
No, you have to. You have to play that game. Don't give up. It's so good.
Hey, I put nearly 45 seconds into it.
No. You need to.
Okay, in an office. What more is there to it? Okay.
You don't stay in the office. Spoilers.
You do if you play with keyboard and mouse controls like I do. Spoilers.
Oh, God. No, there's so much.
All right.
No. You need to play this game because it's like a commentary on those kinds of games and the people who play them. And I can't even explain to you how amazing that game is.
All right. I'll put a little check mark by Stanley Parable. Now, I had the common sense to not even buy. Oh, I did buy Papers, Please. When did I do that? Oh, I shouldn't buy games late at night. It was probably after talking to you on one of these podcasts, and I was like, "Oh, buy it!" Just like you made just me like buy that. The you made me buy the cave during a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, the cave!
Jeez.
Oh no! I didn't notice it on my Steam list because that's in my Apple App Store Hall of Shame.
Oh boy. Yes.
Your turn. This is
my turn. Okay.
This really is shameful at this point.
It is. I have a whole list of things that I didn't so I went to Mouse Gaming Classic like I do just about every year.
Okay.
And I was going to do a video like I do just about every year and I didn't do it right away. And that ended up being a mistake because I never did get around to it. Like, and it got to a point where it's like, it makes no sense to even try at this point to do one. Although I did want to talk about, I played a game called, it's like this combination of like Joust and, but it was like an arcade game, like Killer Queen. There we go. Killer Queen. And it's like 5 against 5 on two arcade cabinets. And then the point is to like kill the queen I think kill all the warriors or like move this slow moving snail into its shell or something like that. There's different ways to win, and like trying to figure out how to win is one of the fun of that. But
is it dynamite with a laser beam? Is it guaranteed to blow your mind?
I think the last one is true. Yes, anytime. It's pretty good. So I had some footage of that, and I wanted to put a video together. I guess it's still relevant. But
yeah,
you know, I did a haul of my 2014 stuff, and I didn't do that this year. And one of the things I got was Captain Comic, which is my only proper Color Dreams game.
Oh.
And it's sitting in front of me right now taunting me, and I really should try and play it.
I just drown out the voices. I'm in a whole room of games left abandoned.
Oh, no. And they call to you.
You ever played Eternal Darkness?
Oh, no. Yes, just like that.
You know that room you have to go to that has all the like moaning skulls and things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
That's my game room. It's like, play me. And I'm like, huh. I introduce you to your 10 new friends.
Oh, dear.
Okay, anyway.
So yeah, I don't know anything about Captain Comic. I don't know if you do. But I did play the Moses game that I got.
Oh.
I basically have a whole bunch of Wisdom Tree games at this point that I haven't even put in. But the Moses one was pretty good, actually. The mechanics are pretty interesting.
Spiritual Warfare?
That's the one I don't think I've gotten yet. I've been looking for it.
I would love to see that because it's a Zelda clone. Oh, are we talking about videos that are on our pile of shame? Because I've got
yeah.
one.
Yeah, but yeah, let's talk about videos too.
Okay, I want to do a House of the Dead Typing of the Dead video.
Okay.
Because it's gone full circle. So here's what the video is gonna have in it. Can I say this? Is this okay to say?
Well, why not?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Because yeah. You'll appreciate it when it comes, because basically four games have used the House of the Dead 2 game with minor modifications. Oh no, sorry, three. But House of the Dead 2, obviously.
Obvious.
Typing of the Dead, which is House of the Dead 2 modified, and then one more that is a parody. It doesn't use the same engine, but it is a dating simulator that parodies Typing of the Dead. It's called Typing of the Date. It's
made by okay.
It's a real thing. It's a Dreamcast game. And then recently they pulled the rotting corpse of the House of the Dead 2 engine and modified it yet again for the Nintendo DS to make a game called English of the Dead.
What?
Which is a game much like Popeye no Ego de Asobi or whatever it was called. Much like the Popeye English learning game, it is a game geared at Japanese kids to teach them English and also fight zombies.
Oh, well, naturally. As one does.
Yep. Yep, and you gotta know your alphabet so that you can know exactly what letter it is when you have to suffer like G did.
I still don't know the Japanese alphabet that well, like the actual proper order of things. Like,
well, then maybe you need this game. You can kind of use it in reverse.
Okay. Maybe I will.
All right, so English of the Dead. Oh, I have actually played that one, so I guess that's not on my pile of shame. But I want to make a video with all these things in it, and I have all these games, and they are sitting in a stack by my TV, hoping that I'll be tempted to, I don't know, pull out my video camera and start filming something.
Oh, man.
Okay, your turn.
Well, I can get to videos, but I'll talk about one more game at least.
Go for it.
So I got my PS4 a little over a year ago, so it was late 2014.
Yep.
And all I've really done with it is play Dragon Age. Although, yep. I had, like, what did I get? I got Injustice, the complete version. That's a whole story I'm sure I've shared before.
Yep.
And a few things I've gotten because I had the PlayStation Plus, whatever, which I stopped paying for because after a year apparently it expired and I had to renew to do my monthly payment, whatever. Really? So, well, I mean, my initial goal was to pay for a whole year up front, and then like as the months went on, I never actually did it, so I spent $50 more on it than I probably needed to, and I never used it for anything. So yeah. So then they told me I was about to expire, and I'm like, well, isn't it in your best interest to auto renew me all the time and not do
it's
this?
It's strange because that's the standard,
right? So that didn't happen, and you know, I'm sure I've played Amplitude by now. Yes. But I got another disc-based game that I haven't even opened yet, and because I spent so much time playing Dragon Age, I haven't
what is it?
Looked at it. The Last of Us Remastered. It was
a
PlayStation
3
game.
Yeah.
So I know nothing about this game still, just that it was very, very good. And the only thing it says in the back is Joel and Ellie, brought together by harsh circumstance, must survive a brutal journey across the U.S. in a dangerous post-pandemic world.
Yeah, it's again.
Don't tell me anything.
I won't go in. Unfortunately, that's the thing, because I read a lot of gaming websites and forums and everything, is that the game was so well liked and so talked about that it's been spoiled to here and back for me. So like, I don't know if I could even go in and play it at this point.
Really?
So actually you're perfect. You don't know anything about it. And that's probably the best way to go into it.
Okay. I mean, now that I've mentioned this on the podcast, I probably need to play it.
Yeah.
Before it comes out so that, someone doesn't accidentally or deliberately spoil me.
I mean, it's not M. Night Shyamalan Presents, you know, The Last of Us. So, but at the same point, you know, but play it. I think that one you should move up on your list.
Okay. I probably will.
Okay. My turn.
Yeah. Your turn.
Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy X-2.
Oh no!
I've already gone through this.
When Game Day was on, which is a podcast that, from last year.
Yeah. You know, there got all kinds of blitzball going on, and I was, you know, I got somewhat into it, pretty far, but I've long lost those save files. But I got it on Vita. It was cheap, and it came with Final Fantasy X-2 as well, and it's the remastered one, and I started and I got halfway through the first cutscene, and then I'm like, nope. So it's fine, but I don't know. It's one of those things where it is a masterpiece ahead of you, and the big problem is the first 20 hours, not 20, maybe 15, maybe the first 15 hours, I've already played it before.
Oh, sure.
So I'm not going to get a lot of joy replaying, you know. You know, I'll just kind of be getting through it to get in. But like, here's what the package says. Hold on. Where's the package? Digging through my piles to find my package. Okay, the package says on the back, over 200 hours of gameplay. And I'm just like, oh. I know we're beyond the target audience of gamers who have a lot of time and little money. But I mean, I would love an RPG that says nearly 6 hours of gameplay. But a great story and you really like it.
Sure.
That's the type of game I'm looking for. In fact, listeners right now, recommend me some games that can be beat in like 20 hours or less with a good story. I'm all about that right now. Because I mean, I'm really, really liking my time with Xenoblade right now, but I can not play more games like that.
Oh no.
It's it's, I'm going to have to choose between work and video games.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah. But the thing is, I hear Final Fantasy X-2 is not as good as Final Fantasy X, but still I want to play it because it's so different. I'm sure. I'm intrigued by the costume-based combat.
Uh-huh.
But not 200 hours intrigued. So, but convince me otherwise. Again, with all this pile of shame, if Sean's not up to the job of convincing me to play them, then it's up to you, our dear listeners.
Wait.
The listeners are like, ugh.
What does this mean?
So much work.
Oh.
But the listeners have done it before. They've taken it upon to do art projects to convince you to play Splatoon.
That's right, and that worked beautifully. So
It did. So if Final Fantasy X is your favorite game of all time, and you need to make sure that we've played it enough to be able to talk about it. Yeah. Did you beat Final Fantasy X?
Nope. As I was telling Game Dave, I got to Blitzball.
Oh yeah, you
had so much more fun playing Blitzball than the actual game because it involved leveling up your character, and I was really good at winning.
There you go.
So
okay, we both have DuckTales, which is funny. Which is funny because when the game was about to come out, I got myself excited for it, and I beat the Famicom DuckTales.
Oh, right.
I actually did play through that one and beat it in preparation for it, which was actually harder than I remembered that game.
Right.
But I got through that, and then when the actual game came out, I'm like, oh, this is so great. It's elements of the original and blah, blah, and I never beat it. I don't know why.
I think I had fonder memories of playing that game than I did actually like beating it. Because, you know, back in the day, games were too hard and you really couldn't beat them. So you just had fun with like the elements and whatever that you could do. And now it's like we just sit gathering herbs for hours on end. Like, what's happened?
Bayonetta 2.
No, I even got that for you.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, it came with Bayonetta 1, and I got most of the way to the end of that. And I enjoy it very much. Bayonetta is just a very hard game to play as a dad.
Sure.
Because I've got to use the main, you know, TV, because it's a much better game on the big screen.
Sure.
Because of how much stuff is going on. On the gamepad itself is not a great way to experience that. And because of that and how violent it is, I can't play it when my kids are up and I can only play it late at night, but I need a little more. I can't play it when I'm tired because there's, again, a lot of stuff going on. I think when I eventually move the Wii U into my game room, when I get an HD TV in here, maybe I'll beat that. I really want to, because it's super. I mean, the first Bayonetta is super, super fun, and I hear that the second one controls even better and stuff. So, yeah. Okay, you got more? I got more.
Let me talk about a video then, or maybe a bunch of videos. Right. When we started this whole future retro thing. It's because I wanted to do a video series called Future Retro, and I haven't done that yet. I should say I started it and I got a video and a half done. And I don't remember if we've talked about this on the show before or not. I feel like we might have.
Maybe.
No, we've talked to each other about it.
Okay.
So I did two. I did one about the whole kerfuffle about the Wii U Pro Controller looking like the Xbox 360 one. So that's a bit dated now, but I think it's still funny.
Okay.
And I go into quite a lot of detail. It's more like a Famicom Dojo episode, honestly. So maybe that one might get repurposed. We'll see. But that one's been done for 2 years?
Oh, man.
So
I mean, we called this episode Shame Fest, but man, that's
pretty shameful.
Wow.
So there's that one. And then I did another one about the Wii U Virtual Console back when it was new. So things have changed on that one. Maybe I can make some updates, but there were some interesting things about that. So I don't know if there's anything left that would really be.
Just throw some duct tape useful on that episode.
Yeah, maybe it'll come out. But like the idea was to like review contemporary games like the Powit, the old Powit show, the Keep Playing, which I did a number of videos on. They're still on the Sean Orange channel. And like outside of Famicom Dojo, those are some of the most popular ones I've done. So I figured that, yeah, it'd be good. So it was originally, back when I was making the videos, it was going to be more Keep Playing, back when, myself and two other guys from Palette were still trying to sort of, keep it from dying slowly as it was doing.
Mm.
And then somewhere along there, I realized that it didn't make any sense for me to be the only one producing Powit branded content. And yeah. So I was thinking of ways to rework it, but I was talking to someone to like use their theme song, for the new video, and actually recorded an intro with their music, which I can't share for legal reasons. If anyone wants to see it, I can share the video, with the old Powit theme. I can do that version. Maybe we'll put that in the show notes and throw it up on one of the channels. But I can't do it with the proposed one, because we never sealed that deal, because it was going to be under the Powit Enterprises branding. And so I don't, you know, that project kind of languished. I never got back to them with the paperwork, so I feel really bad about that. But we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And then like by the time we did, it was well past any reasonable time, to get that done. So, I still want to do that, and I still need to figure out, the music for it and the theme song and all that stuff. So I think I still want to do it. And there are a lot of games like the Stanley Parable, which is hard to review because reviewing the game is spoiling the game. So I figured the best thing to do, well, I don't want to spoil how I'm going to handle that. But I figured that it'd be a good season ender. But you know, given that all the, you know, the Winter Dojo and our Kickstarter, it's like it didn't seem appropriate to like try and do this other project at the same time. So maybe I'll get to that this year. But given the aging set of videos that are already in the can, it's like I'm still trying to decide what to do with that. So, dear listeners, if you have any recommendations, I'd love to hear them. Should we move on to questions?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I mean,
or do you have another shameful thing you want to talk about?
I got too many. To tell you the truth, I got too many. Let me give one last one. River City Ransom.
Okay. Oh boy, really?
I went through the trouble of getting a cartridge of it. And I haven't even, like, I don't have an NES here right now. I know, that's pretty crazy. But I was going to play it on my Retron 5. But I don't know, it's just so much trouble just to set it up. Because I got to set it up in the living room, because my TV in here doesn't have HDMI, and that only has HDMI.
Got it.
And that's the only thing I have to play NES games on right now, so... I don't know. Add Retron 5 to my pile of shame.
No, because you got that. Okay. So it's been a little over a year since we recorded both Don't Blow It and our Demon Generations video. So yeah, man, like what happened there? Cause I think you brought one home with you after that, and I almost bought one at that time, but didn't.
For you, that might work, cause the way your stuff is set up, maybe you could actually have it set up all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm always, I don't know, I guess I could too, except I don't know, it fits so nicely back into its box. I don't know.
Oh boy.
I don't know. I really should. In fact, I don't know why I don't, because it's actually much more troublesome to keep switching systems out.
Right. You know
what? That's what I'm gonna do. I am gonna unpack the Retron 5. Maybe I'll throw the box away. I know I don't usually like to do that, but then I won't be tempted to keep putting it back in the box. Okay. I think if it's out there, I mean, because it plays so many different things. But I've also got to update the firmware on it. I need to do that. I got to figure out.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. I got to figure out how to update the firmware, and then I think I'll use that. I mean, I've taken it out. I had a party here a few months ago, and I had the Retron 5 out so I could just play all kinds of cartridges without switching systems around.
Sure.
And it worked great. People really liked it. Looked nice on the television. Yeah, it was good. But I don't know. I guess I still just do like using the original hardware.
Right.
As well.
Right.
It doesn't support Famicom controllers, obviously, because wired, you know. But like, I don't have any NES controllers. I have one like NES like controller. But I used actual Super Famicom controllers for the Super Famicom games, and that worked really, really well.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Okay. Let's do questions.
All right. If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast at famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show. Okay, we have some leftovers. Well, this one's for you, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Nathan Sheeks asks, Fink, how hard is it to find BioMiracle Upa? Is that right? I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yep.
And Pizza Pop for Famicom over in Japan. I've had a hard time tracking these great titles down. When I do see them, they are very pricey. In the PS, the cart version of Upa, not disc. Thanks.
Okay. It's super rare. BioMiracle Upa, whatever it is. The one with the baby. You're a baby in this game.
What?
And have you ever played this game?
No.
It's not super hard to find on discs, on Famicom disc. It's maybe, it's going to run you about $20-25. Nice. You know, it's a really well-made Konami game. Because it was on disc, is probably, and it was during the time of Nintendo limiting how many games could be released by one company to five. So of Konami titles from that era slipped through the cracks. Felcyon never got released outside of Japan, which, even though it's very good. A lot of the exciting sports series didn't come out, although Exciting Basketball came out as Double Dribble. But, you know, a lot of...
Okay, I just learned something today.
Oh, but I mean, a lot of things, just because of the bottleneck Nintendo imposed, didn't come out. And this is one of the casualties, because it's quite a good game with good music and good gameplay. You play a baby, you jump around, you're looking for hearts. But the thing is, it was so good, in fact, that like other Konami titles, well, like another Konami title, they later produced a cart version of it. And much like the original Castlevania was a disc system game, but then was released on cartridge later, the cartridges were produced in limited quantities, and they're much more expensive than the disc system counterparts. Same with Zelda. Zelda got a cartridge release late in its life.
Okay.
But Zelda 2 didn't. But in general, well, I don't know. The Zelda cart and the Zelda disc are about the same price, because Nintendo actually made a good number of them. But this game costs, if you can find a loose copy of it for $100, that's a good price.
Oh, wow.
Boxed copy is going to be substantially more. Same with the Castlevania. loose copy for $100 is a good price.
Okay.
Pizza Pop, Jellico, which I have a connection to because they were headquartered in Kyushu. Well, part of there. But I don't know if Pizza Pop was made locally, but some of their baseball games were. Pizza Pop's kind of rare because it didn't come out. It's one of those larger size cartridges, but I don't know. I don't think it's as rare in Japan as collectors make it out to be. I mean, it goes for pretty high prices on eBay and things like that, but it's definitely not a common game, but it at the same time, it's not super in demand in Japan either. You can probably get a copy for $20, $25, maybe even less. I got my copy at Famicom Dojo for $5.
Okay.
So, and it's a good game. It's a very good game. Kind of lost classic, I would say. And maybe that's why it's getting to be expensive now, because people are kind of rediscovering it.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. You're going to have to read those old questions. Sorry.
All right. Joseph Gott asks, I have a question for the show. When will you guys be getting a Famicom title or Japanese Sega Master System for the show? Also, keep up the great work. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Famicom Titler, I've been here 11 years now and I've never seen one.
Really? Well, I guess that's not too surprising.
I have seen them once or twice on Yahoo auctions, and they go for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And it's an interesting thing. Do you know what the Famicom Titler is?
Yes, yes.
Okay. We can talk about that in another one, but... in a nutshell, it was a Famicom system that was also had the ability to basically do kind of overlays. But it's very expensive, and I think unless Famicom Dojo starts getting way more hits,
yeah, it'd be hard to.
It would be hard to justify the price because I don't need one. The collector's instinct in me is strong, but maybe not that strong. And if we were a show like, I don't know, if we were one of the really big game shows that get a million views on each video, you know, we could buy hardware like that. So I guess the real question is,
how much do you love us, dear listeners?
How much do you love us, yes. Dear listeners, watch our videos. Even if you've already seen them, watch some old ones. But that's the thing. We invest a lot in hardware for this show. I don't have the exact numbers in front of us, but even though as videos are being monetized on YouTube now, it doesn't even come close to the amount of money we spend into this show. So
it's true.
When it comes to obscure hardware like that, I would love to get another hotel unit for the Famicom. I had one for a while before we were really doing videos. I forgot what it's called. But the coin operated Famicom that would be in hotel rooms. I've also had a Laser Active, which I don't have anymore, which I wish I had done some videos of at the time. And the thing is, when I bought these things, they were a lot cheaper than they are now, because it was about 6-7 years ago.
Sure.
Actually, more like 8-9 years ago. But things have gone up a lot in price, and that's the thing with the Titler too. I probably could have got one for about $300 back in the day, but now they're a lot more. So, I eventually will do a video on everything. But that one, unfortunately, is a little beyond my means for the immediate future.
Yep. As well as the Japanese Sega Master System is something I'm interested in, for sure.
Yep.
But I don't have a lot of. Well, I do have a bunch of SG-1000 games that are Japanese that I could definitely use in one.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is comparing that to the Mark III and all of its accessories, because they're all basically built in to the Japanese version. And if anyone watched the video I did during MAGFest in 2012, I believe it was, and a friend of the show, Earl Grey III, very graciously allowed me to film him buying this from the Mad Gear store, and then letting me follow him to his hotel room to do like a Famicom Dojo style, because it wasn't
he let you do that. Okay,
he let me. Yes, it's presented in the video as I was creeping on him.
Yeah,
but behind the scenes, actually he was very much on board with the idea, because he's a big fan of the show. And he's always been pretty awesome to me, him and Carson, whenever I've been to MAGFest and seen them. So it was a lot of fun to do. And I would love to have my own, but I was in no way able to pay for one of those.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, why would I swoop in and take it from someone else, but also because that's actually where I picked up my data recorder and keyboard.
There you go.
So, good times. So maybe we'll get one eventually, but yeah, it's, you know, not high on the priority list. I still have a lot of Sega stuff that we haven't reviewed for the show. More Pile of Shame video stuff, but that's why we're... Yeah, okay. Basically season two is a whole pile of shame, but that's why we're doing the Kickstarter.
You make it fun of me with the Retron 5.
Yeah.
Two trips ago, this is more than 2 years ago, I brought you four different boxed things that none of them have shown. Well, one of them has shown up.
Two? No.
Oh, yeah, the MSX and the... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See? But we need to do...
Two others haven't, so...
Right, yes. Oh, God. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. One of them might be Dreamcast related.
Woohoo!
Just saying.
Okay. A couple quick questions more. Alexa asks, have you played Power Blade on the NES and or its Famicom predecessor Power Blazer? Thanks in advance. I played Power Blade. I remember Nintendo Power did a cover story on it, and I still thought the concept was dumb. It's like, I'm an 80s guy with sunglasses and a boomerang. But I rented it, and I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was hard, and I never really went back to it. You, Sean?
I never played it myself, but I remember that cover because it was one of the first Nintendo Powers I ever got.
Oh, really?
When I got my subscription. Yep. So, but yeah, the game itself didn't look terribly interesting.
Is it good? Now I need to know, and now I need to find Power Blazer, and I'm guessing it's a bit rare because I don't have a copy right now. So might have to. Didn't actually realize the connection there.
No.
Nice. So I'll look into that. Okay, you can read the next one.
All right. Is it Lena Stadbonner? If this is you, please tell me how to pronounce your name. why do some Denshi mail take up to 3 days to appear on the website after the release of the RSS feed? Ooh, I have an answer for this. Ah, boy. So I have been working very diligently during this holiday season to get the website more automated. There is a lot of stuff that we do by hand still. That takes a lot of time, and especially as popular as the podcast has been getting, part of the reason that we took a big long hiatus was because I needed to get some things reorganized. Kind of, you know, whenever we go away like that, we're trying to work on something like our videos, or just take a break. But you know, we always bring the podcast back better than before, or at least try to. We make some changes and tweaks, and then we keep tweaking and changing. But one of those things that I was working on was the website itself, and a lot of the website was also kind of manual. So the show notes take a lot of time to put together in particular, so they might not get done right away if I've been spending my time getting the actual podcast itself edited, uploaded, and everything like that. So this reduces the steps I have to take for putting that stuff into the website manually. And so now I've gotten it where it will sort of update the feed. That's got to get automated still too. But the Denshi mail and any other of the bonus audio or link to the past stuff were manually inserted into the show notes or into the description for the show, which I've fixed that all now. So now those things are in our database as separate entries. And we can mix and match, search for them. That's kind of the goal. By the time this comes out, I hope to have the search functionality done.
Great.
Now that we kind of have like a, when we first did the podcast, we just had an episode that went up, right? And we didn't have a lot of audio bonuses going at first and our promos and whatnot. Now those are all in there. And they can like reference each other, index each other and things like that. And so when we put a new Denshi mail up, basically when I put it into the feed, it's going to go on the website at the same time because of the way that I've set this up. So it might actually even be on the website before it goes into the feed, maybe only by a few minutes, but now the new process will let us do that right away. And I don't have to manually insert it into the show notes for the episode it's related to. So that answers that question. I hope we're still tweaking the website a bit, and I want to add things like people who've been on the show before, either the videos or the podcasts, will be linked to the episode that they were in. You can go to a page about them and find all the podcasts or videos that they've been in, and get some basic information about them, especially because we were talking about Rob Matsushita and having him back. It would be nice to have a page for him for both the videos and podcasts he's been in. So, for instance, there will be a page for Rob Matsushita.
Cool.
Yay! All right, next question.
Okay, Marcin asks, I've been interested in Satellaview for a while now, but recently I've been wondering, are Japanese people still into it? Like, is it remembered by the Japanese? Are there communities dedicated to restoring the games, emulating the system? You're not going to like the answer, really. I mean, now, I will admit that my Japanese is not anywhere near fluent, and I usually read my gaming sites in English. But for the most part, there seems to be a larger scene in English-speaking countries or among English speakers than actual among the Japanese. I mean, I think you'll notice that in general, a lot of the emulators for these classic systems are not being made by Japanese people, even if they're emulators for systems that were only available in Japan. In general, I think emulation is not as popular here. And I think a lot of people have nostalgia for it, but I would say 99% of Japanese gamers don't even know what the Satellaview is. And
that's a high percentage.
I would say so. Maybe that's a little too high. I think a lot of people knew what it was, but very few people had it. And very few people have ever actually seen one.
Okay.
I guess, what could I compare it to? Let's say the Dreamcast broadband adapter.
Oh, boy.
A lot of people know that it existed, but very few people had it or had actually seen one.
Okay, sure.
Something like that. But in general, like, there are definitely some Japanese people very interested in it, especially if you go to... the high price of Satellaview cartridges that have game saves on them is an indication of that, unless it's entirely being sold to foreigners.
Right, which could
be. They go for very high prices because people are trying to extract those games to it. But in general, I hang out with a lot of Japanese retro gamers, and the topic of Satellaview very, very rarely comes out. I think part of it is the fact that when the system was shut off, it was done. Whereas a lot of other retro things, you can still use and play, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that one is, you know, just gone. I don't know. I'll do a little more. I'll do a little more digging in there. But in general, the amount of interest, it seems like a lot of the people going in for to the restoration, emulation, sharing are foreigners actually. And bravo. And when I say foreigners, of course, I mean myself included. Okay.
All right. Any information about pre-Famicom retro scene in Japan would be cool to hear about. This is from Christopher Bochiman.
Sure.
I want to say. That's not really a question, but it's still something I'd like to know about.
Ah, the pre-Famicom retro scene. Actually, I'm very interested in that myself. I was actually chatting with Hiro about it a few weeks ago because their store, Famicom Dojo, actually predates the Famicom. It was before the Famicom came out, it was a toy store.
Right,
and
right.
Before they started selling Famicom, they were selling Cassette Vision, which is, I think, a console very few people outside of Japan have even heard of. There was Cassette Vision and Super Cassette Vision. And Super Cassette Vision, I guess, would be kind of a Famicom rival. It wasn't as powerful as it was. Cassette Vision was more, I'd say, more on the level of the like Atari 2600 in television type thing right there. And that was that. And, of course, they had the Pong machines put out by Nintendo and stuff like that. And the Nintendo Othello system, which played Othello. And stuff like that, but I gotta say it's not as, and Intellivision came out in Japan, and Japan had their own variant of the Atari 2800.
Oh, interesting.
Which is actually very hard to find these days, and a few other things, but like the pre Famicom stuff, a lot of Japanese retro gaming was actually being imported from the U.S., which seems interesting. And you know, so before Famicom, yeah, it was basically, yeah, Pong machines and imported Atari stuff. You know, Atari was actually approached by Nintendo, as we know, to release the Famicom in the United States, which Atari declined.
Mm-hmm.
Big mistake there.
Right. Or maybe great for Nintendo because who knows how if they were attached to Atari at the time of the crash would have.
True. So hard to say exactly, but it's an interesting scene. The pre Famicom, and a lot of it was very connected to personal computers. A lot of the Japanese gaming, which is probably why they branded the Famicom as the, you know, family computer rather than as, you know, an entertainment system as it was branded in the United States. So once I get some of the hardware together, I have a bunch of old carts right now from pre-Famicom systems. I don't think I ever actually hinted at any of them in the videos, but a couple of them are in the background of a few videos, if you know what to look for. But once I get a few, some more of that stuff together, I would love to do a video about that. And I think that's a great topic to explore a little bit further. These are really good questions today.
Yeah.
I think...
We should do more morning podcasts, huh?
We should do more morning podcasts. People are good in the morning. Oh, man. Like, this really was Shamefest 2016, though. Because, like, even in answering those questions, most of it was like, yeah, we'll get around to that. Yeah, I want to do that. It's just... My world is a vampire. I don't know. There's so, you know, do you remember early on when we started Famicom Dojo? I remember you were you we were talking about it and we're like,
yeah,
what if we run out of stuff to talk about? Well, that was actually a concern. We're like, we can't have a podcast because we'll go every week and we won't have anything to talk about. And, you know, eventually we're going to run out of games and unique hardware and stuff like that. But the digger you deep, this is a late night podcast. I should point that out.
Right. Yes.
The deeper you dig, the more stuff there is out there. And, man, what a great hobby we're in.
Right.
Isn't this a great hobby?
It's great.
I mean, games, when our biggest problem is that we have too many great games to play, that's a good problem to have.
Right? We don't even really talk about games themselves in our video series, right? So it's like...
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things we can do.
We haven't gotten to games yet. We're just... Dude, Famicom Dojo, you might not realize, but we're still in tutorial mode right now. Sean Corse is basically Navi.
Hey, listen. I don't appreciate these totally spurious... Okay.
But that's the thing. We're just trying to get through the tutorial now so we can actually get to the games.
Right? I know. Like who? No one of those people weren't sticking around. It's like, man, this tutorial's taking forever.
So do you think Famicom Dojo is actually on some YouTube playlists pile of shame?
Oh, God, that could very well be. I mean, there are enough videos, despite what some may think.
Yeah, like people are like, wow, Famicom Dojo, there's a lot of stuff there. I don't know if I have time to get through that. Or I watched one of the videos, it wasn't really for me. Should I keep going? Maybe someone is posting that right now.
Maybe someone bought a DVD and it's still shrink wrapped. I mean,
a lot of people have done that. Actually.
I wonder. No, because there was somebody on Amazon. Yes, who was claiming to sell new DVDs, and I contacted them, and they were undercutting our price. I was like, yes. Hey, I was curious where you're getting your new DVDs from, because we're the only ones who print them, and, I mean, maybe yours is used, or maybe someone sold theirs to you, in which case, and it's on open, fine, but, you know, I'm just curious. And then, like, a day later, the listing went away. So... I didn't say don't sell it. I'm just curious.
No.
Who's your supplier?
Where is the profit on that one coming from? Because
right.
Because if it is a legit DVD, which I can't imagine anybody would pirate it.
No, like, I don't think that's the case.
Like to tell you the truth, I'd be kind of flattered by a torrent. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh wow, this torrent's being seeded. Good job. Not saying that I want someone out there is like, oh, he said it's okay.
Yeah.
But in a way, like, it would mean that there was a pent up demand.
Right.
But, yeah, that's weird. That is so weird. But yeah, people find Famicom Dojo DVDs and play. I've deposited them around this fair nation.
Well, I mean, you know what? Sometimes I've just left them out at conventions. So maybe someone picked one up and decided, hey, I can make a buck off this.
We've handed them out at Tokyo Game Show to people who probably can't understand them.
Exactly.
Let's see. Any public library I've ever been to has a copy right now, because there's usually places where you can donate books and things. The movie library at the front desk where I worked in college has a copy of Famicom Dojo.
There you go.
Yeah.
All righty. Well,
let's see.
I think that's all the time we have for this week. So Thanks everyone for writing in. And we'll have more awesome episodes, back to our regular schedule programming.
Yep.
After this week. So I guess until then, the dojo is
shameful.
So much shame.
Famicom Dojo.